John, it's a pleasure having you here this morning. I've been very much looking forward to this conversation.
It's great to be here, Neil. Thanks for having me.
The community knows you as the Arts Revitalization Coordinator for Oil City and the broader Oil City community, not just Oil City. Of course, you're headquartered here right in the building we're talking in today.
That's right.
National Transit Building, just down the hall.
That's right, that's right. And it is an Oil City initiative. It came out of an Oil City Council effort. But I think one thing that's important is not to draw false boundaries. And so I'm happy to welcome any artist from the area that wants to work with me.
Yes.
That's very important.
Yes. Now you've been doing this for a little over a year? Actually, you've been doing it for more like 2 years.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I came on board actually in July of 2006. That was when the job started. We didn't start advertising or trying to urge people to relocate until January of 2008, actually. Mm-hmm. It took a while to lay the groundwork first.
Yes.
So, close to 3 years. Close to 3 years we've been on this now.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about those formative years and some debate that was going on in the community and decisions that were made. I think you know your supporters very much believe that this is the sort of initiative that's needed in an older community that's going through a transition in its way of life. And kind of embellish that somewhat, if you will.
Sure, sure. Yeah, Oil City, when I arrived in 1996, the oil companies had either just left or were in the process of leaving. Quaker State was gone. Pennzoil was still here, but was about to uproot itself as well. And obviously, Oil City's identity was so tied in with those Fortune 500 companies and those headquarters and also those jobs and that whole culture that what I saw when I moved here was a community that was in not an economic depression, but an emotional depression. It was really...
They were trying to redefine themselves.
Yeah, they had lost their sense of identity.
Yes.
And I've thought a lot about that since. The only thing I can think of comparable is when Britain suddenly didn't rule the world. You know? When they were no longer the British Empire and they were just a little island. Well,
yes.
Oil City was a big city in its own mind.
Yes, and in its culture.
And in its culture and in its attitude toward life, and suddenly it became a small town. Overnight, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And what a shock.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, it's happened in other cities all over the country that the manufacturing base leaves. And different cities have different ways of approaching it. But I think a mourning period had to take place before we could do anything.
I agree. And the town, I think, was depressed, in a funk, if you will, and was looking for ways, at least certain individuals in the community are looking for ways to kind of get out of that. And let's get on with our lives. The Arts Initiative, though the Arts Council had been around for some time now. We have to allow for that.
Yes. Well, in fact, that was instrumental in my decision to move here. I came to visit my brother. You know, that it was a very casual thing. And I looked around and I thought, well, a town this size has an art gallery, which had not been open very long, I don't believe. That was when the transit building was being refurbished.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. And then I started looking at real estate. So, and I guess I'm hoping that other people will do the same thing. And they do. They do. I'm not the only one.
Well, of course not. I've told my friends, because you and I both come from some other place, and they ask us, why did you come here? And both my wife and I answered, because the place is so beautiful.
Yes.
And if you're around it all the time, you take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But people from the outside, they see.
Yeah.
They see the natural beauty and the topography.
Yeah.
And the curious light that the northern part of the U.S. is associated with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural for artists, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful. Right. There's a point on Route 8 when you're coming up toward Oil City where you can't see anything man-made. It's all trees, and the landscape kind of drops off.
Yes.
And the first time I came up by car from Pittsburgh, I thought, why hadn't anybody ever told me about this? It was so beautiful. And so, you know, people who live here say, well, how on earth are you going to entice anybody to want to move to Oil City? It's not a hard sell. It's not a hard sell. People come, I don't have to even talk to them. They come into my office and say, we've been driving around all day, we love it. What mm-hmm. do we need to do? Mm-hmm. So that's very, very encouraging. And I think people in Oil City should take pride in that. So I hope they do.
I do. I think they should recognize it as an asset. Mm-hmm. And it clearly is an asset that you now can exploit when you're trying to recruit artists coming into the city.
That's
and
right.
into the region. It's
That's
not
right.
just Oil City.
No.
Because obviously, you get down to Franklin, you see a very beautiful town. We know that.
Sure.
So you have some advantages in recruiting. Could you tell us a little bit about how that experience has gone over the last couple of years? Because I know you've brought artists into this area.
Yeah. We started national advertising in January of 2008, and we have had 14 relocations to date. So that's close to an artist a month.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming. They're coming from Massachusetts, California, Alaska. The first came from Alaska. That was, we hadn't even started advertising yet. He found my webpage and just sort of showed up on New Year's Day and said, "I'm here."
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about Charlie?
Yes, we're talking about Charlie. But a number of very, very interesting people, very skilled artists have made the move here, and for a variety of personal reasons. But what I've noticed and what I've experienced in my own life is you reach a point where you want to make a move, you're not sure where you're going to go, and at that moment, when you're open to all the possibilities, that's the person I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm advertising in magazines that are targeting artists or craftspeople. So I don't want the whole world calling me up and saying, I want to move here. I want working artists, working craftspeople, and that's who's responding.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting responses.
I know from conversations that the community's had over the last so many years that one of the reasons everybody wanted you, and everybody did, as the Art Revitalization Coordinator, is because you yourself are a recognized artist, and you've been around.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived in various places in the East, I believe,
mm-hmm.
all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been around other artistic communities, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. how they see a community and see an opportunity.
Right.
What do you tell these guys and gals when you when you first approach them? Do you say, I'm an artist?
I don't usually start out that way, no,
uh-huh.
because there's a certain amount of customer service here, and the customer is the center of this conversation, not
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So, when people call me, I make sure first to answer their questions, then to ask them about their own work and how I can take a look at their own work. And generally, in a follow-up email, I will include a link to my work so that people can take a look at it and they then realize that, oh, they're not dealing with a real estate agent or, you know, whatever, but with somebody who has artistic interests as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the way I go about it when I take people on tours of the building and the studios here, because I urge people to come and visit, not just to make decisions based on a newspaper article or a picture
mm-hmm.
in a magazine. When they come to visit, then we visit my studio along with all the others. I don't want to put myself in the center of the equation, because whoever I'm talking to is obviously supposed to be in that spot.
Yes, yes. But nonetheless, you bring mm-hmm. credibility in that interview.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and actually, when I first moved here, I had been showing work in the Boston area, and I was looking for a way to get my overhead down, because the only way an artist can really survive is to live cheap, sell high, you know. Sell your work in a market where people have money, but keep your overhead down. And so that is pretty much the concept that I'm marketing to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're living in New York City now, you can continue to sell your work in New York City. Why don't you come and live here in a really beautiful house that you can get for around $35,000?
Yes.
And that has a lot of appeal in this economy in particular.
Yes.
most people that are approaching me are either from the West Coast or from the Northeast. People who are coming from other small towns tend not to make the move because it's the same as what they're coming from. Mm-hmm. We have a nice artist community here now. We've got a good movement going. So if someone is looking for that, then they may consider the move. And we have had several people who have moved with that in mind. But most of the people who are responding to this effort are from larger communities, urban areas, and expensive areas on the two coasts.
And this then becomes a very clear alternative to what they're
to what they have now. Yes, yeah. They look at a really beautiful town with friendly people, low crime, low cost of living, beautiful surroundings, and they say, "Oh, you know, I need to go there."
Not died and gone to heaven.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And that's the kind of appreciation we're hoping people do bring into the community. Mm-hmm. This is a great place to be, mm-hmm. and it validates. In my own case and in yours, it validates our choices to come here. We thought we were right when we did it.
That's right.
Now, John, let's talk a little bit about the initiatives throughout the complex, the mm-hmm. National Transit main building we're in, and then mm-hmm. the annex. Mm-hmm.
Well, my office is in the main building. Next to my office is one of the vaults that John D. Rockefeller stashed his money in. It has been turned into a recording studio by a local musician who provided all the equipment. He wanted a downtown venue, and he cuts CDs for local artists who are just starting out at a very minimal cost. Some of it's grant funded, so that's kind of fascinating, and it's really well equipped. You know, he's got three sound booths and a whole console that he works at. Mm-hmm. As you go up to the second floor, there are a number of former offices, which are now used as studios. We rent studio space at 49 cents a square foot. Hmm. And very, very affordable and very beautiful as well. So
That equates to about $1,200 a year or something like that, right?
For
a typical studio.
For a typical studio, I tend to think in terms of a month.
$100?
Yeah, $100. My studio is about $60 a month. the most expensive one we have is $250 a month. Right. It all depends on size, and that one's huge.
Yes.
So, it's very, very affordable, and that's another selling point when people are coming from New York or from Los Angeles, and when you tell them what the studio would cost, they can't park their car for that amount of money in those cities. So that's a great selling point. The Annex has recently been reopened. Basically, there was no heat, no water, nothing in that building. It had stood empty for at least 15 years, mm-hmm. to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. And on the second floor of the Annex, we have, again, opened up spaces for studios. The floor below is, I believe, going to be used as a museum for artifacts that were found in the building, mm-hmm. oil-related artifacts. Although I've taken a look at some of those things. I mean, I learned to type on one of those typewriters. So, artifacts, museum pieces, Neil. So that's going on. Mm-hmm. In the ground floor, there are big plans, but so far there's still plans. In the front part, which is has windows at street level, we would like to have a cooperative artist gallery and retail space. Mm-hmm. And artists in the building are interested, but they're still developing their own businesses and are not quite ready yet to get into that kind of organizing mode. Mm-hmm. At the back of the building is a space that is going to be used as a pottery studio. Every ceramics person that's come in here has said, this is the place for it. It's got windows looking onto Pipeline Alley where the performances go on in the summer. So that lets light in. It also lets people look in and see the work of the artists. It's got a room that will be perfect for a kiln room. But it's going to take enormous amounts of cleanup and manual labor to get this in shape. Mm-hmm. And I need to say that everything that's happened in the transit building and annex has been done by volunteer work.
Yes. Yeah.
So, huge efforts on the part of the community.
Kind of a miracle, in a way.
Yeah.
I'll emphasize that there's been very little money available to do this.
No money.
It's amazing at times they actually continue to survive because I know how difficult the heating problems have been and that sort of thing.
That's right.
And yet
you're
still here.
Still here. Yeah, that's right. No state funding, no federal funding, a stipend from the city that pays my salary.
And I can tell them it's a modest one, the best.
And that's really all we've had to work with, but enormous numbers of volunteer hours. The Oil City Civic Center, some of the board members have donated electrical expertise, just hard labor, you know. Mm-hmm. They've engaged youth groups, also adjudicated youth who need to do community service. What better way than to bring back a building like this?
Right.
So that's
changed some lives.
Yes.
It's given them
some of them a different
option, if you will.
Well, and it's an investment. You know, as soon as you've done some work on a place, it somehow becomes yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want that kind of feeling of investment to be there. So
there
so that's good. Yeah.
You and I have both been to some of the buildings on the East Coast that they use for artists' mm-hmm. developments. Mm-hmm. Typically big warehouses. Yes, they're very interesting, no question about it, but they're all kind of the same. Mm-hmm. Big spaces, blah, blah. This one's a little different.
Yes.
I think the spaces certainly are an alternative, so in that respect, it makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in some cases, more plush. The wood in this place is...
This building is beautiful, and you're absolutely right. Usually they're in warehouses or former manufacturing facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Very bare bones, you know, and you can splash paint all over the walls and do what you want, but this building has a cachet immediately when you come in. The lobby is beautiful. There's a big mural on the walls. The woodwork is fantastic. Even the fixtures, the hinges on the doors are impressive, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything about the building just says affluence.
The architecture itself, when mm-hmm. you stand out on the street, it's mm-hmm. worth a trip.
That's
just
right.
To look at this place.
That's right. The elevator in the annex, the mm-hmm. only other one of its kind, is in the Eiffel Tower, I've been told.
I've heard the same thing.
And, you know,
it's a hydraulic
elevator. Yeah. It's one of the old cages that we could probably never get any code officer to approve again, but it's so beautiful. And, you know, this building was built by millionaires who spared no expense, and it's in the middle of our downtown district, and to be able to put an artist in that kind of setting, it's just amazing.
Right.
Just amazing.
It is. Now, it has had an impact on the street. Mm-hmm. We know one of the artists you spoke of, he actually bought a building here in town.
That's right.
Remodeled it beautifully,
mm-hmm.
and opened up. I don't think it's quite a coffee shop. It was a what would you call it? One of those kind of themed smart restaurants.
Yes, a little cafe. It did specialty teas and coffees and homemade soups and lunches and that kind of thing. A very good cook too.
Oh,
yes, by the way.
He's an outstanding cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, in a way, it's still there. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the work he did on the building, we all appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other buildings that have been bought.
Mm-hmm.
And folks who have an interest in this
mm-hmm.
Are pursuing an improvement in that building.
That's right.
You know that will be attractive to the artists who are over here.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, I'm talking a little too much here, Joanne, but admittedly... you're not going to have a group of art enthusiasts on the street every day of the year in a northern city because simply it gets too cold.
Sure.
But the more inviting you make it,
mm-hmm.
the more often you will have it. And I really think this mm-hmm. has provided the impetus for some investment in other buildings here in the town.
I agree. And the more things that we have going on the street here, in the downtown, the more likely people are to come and join us.
Yes.
You know, I've noticed a real change over the last few years, and that's for the good.
And the other thing we forget about this whole situation is just behind us is the creek, Oil Creek. We're not talking about a trickling little thing of water. We're talking about a river if you're out west.
That's right.
And that provides visual and artistic opportunities and inspirations.
I mentioned Pipeline Alley before.
Yes.
Behind the transit building, on what used to be an old loading area, I believe, they have created a beautiful Victorian garden, mm-hmm. right next to the creek. There's a stage, a permanent stage built back there. Every Wednesday at lunchtime, we have music, and people bring their lunch, and it's free. It's a gathering place. Mm-hmm. And one of the favorite things when I give a tour of the building is to take people out on the fire escape, which looks down on that garden and out over the creek and looks at that rock wall across Route 8, mm-hmm. which in winter is the most beautiful thing you can imagine. It just has ice formations all over it. Mm-hmm. So visually, this town is very rewarding. And the people who focus on an empty storefront or a building that's a little dilapidated are kind of missing the point. You know?
I agree. They are missing the... Let's call it the full tapestry or the full canvas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, some of these empty buildings are, of course, part of the look. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire thing remains immensely interesting. And that contrast itself, and the drama,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's another subject for an artist.
and one of the things that I think distinguishes us from small town America in general. You spoke about how beautiful Franklin is, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Rural America is full of small towns that have a main street and a bandstand, and you know, Oil City is very different because it's a small town. The numbers of the population make it a small town, but it has an urban feel. When you look at the architecture in Oil City, it has substance.
Mm-hmm.
The library, when I first came here, shocked me because I went to Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh as a child. I spent every Saturday there. The Carnegie Library here, or what was Carnegie Library here, Oil City Library, is made of the same stone and in the same architectural style, but kind of...
Just smaller.
Smaller.
Yes.
Made compact, you know.
Yes.
And so many of the buildings in Oil City have a little bit of urban edge, and... The buildings that are not well maintained have a little bit of urban grit, which I find that attractive. I don't want to live in a village.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And people who are coming from a big city, I think, find that reassuring rather than off-putting. Mm-hmm. So that's just my take on that.
Well, it's yours and mine, yeah. and others that I've talked to. Mm-hmm. And obviously it appeals to certain groups. Now, just concede... Not everybody around here sees it the way we do.
No.
So be it. But it nonetheless is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I sense that there's much more acceptance among that group of folks around here who didn't initially buy into this than there was 3 years ago when you were originally a folk.
I hope so. I hope so. You know... I tend not to pay a lot of attention to the people who are not supporting the program.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather put my energy into the people who are, and also the people who are coming here. Because one way to change a mindset like that is to counterbalance it with people who think differently. And the people that I bring in are obviously not of the same mentality. So... There's a certain tendency to think if it's not money going into my pocket, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, these investments in the community, we have close to $1 million in homes have been sold over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We have a business investment. That kind of thing, no, it's not going to benefit each individual's pocketbook, but it is going to benefit the community as a whole. And one thing, I mean, I've always looked at this as an economic development effort. Even though I'm an artist and I have that side, I've worked on the economic development side also here for years. You have to have something to offer to a company before a company wants to relocate. The CEO comes and he brings his wife. And if his wife looks around and says, "I wouldn't live here if you paid me," that's the end of that deal. If his wife comes and sees a gallery and sees a nice cafe where she can sit and sees theater productions and a museum, well, there's a better chance for us to bring a company in as well.
Yes.
Although I'm not sure that those days of big companies are going to ever come back again. But a relocation of an industry to this area depends on more than a reliable workforce and a low cost of living.
Yes, it does.
So,
yes.
You know, for from that end, I think this is a good effort too.
Well, I do agree. I don't know if we'll ever draw the very large industrial activities here. Mm. Who will? That's an impossible task. If you happen to catch it, you've been very fortunate, blessed by God. A community has. On the other hand, we will nonetheless get those who are entrepreneurs who have those small businesses and they want to invest their life and their life savings into a community that they think will appreciate it and in time just prosper with the positive view of life.
It's a different model now.
Yes.
And it's a model that I've seen in a lot of former manufacturing towns. In Massachusetts, there are a number of towns that were mill towns that now are focused on the arts and crafts. And that is what draws people to those towns. So, you know, this is the first piece of a renaissance for Oil City, is what I see. And I know that the city had a study done to make recommendations. There were 9 recommendations. This was the easiest to implement. This was going to take the least amount of money, and it was easy to get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. I think that as the other efforts start to kick in, we're going to see a town that looks very different in 10, 15, 20 years' time. Mm-hmm. So, I hope so.
I think you're right. I really do. Let's talk a little bit about your life. No one likes to talk about themselves, but nonetheless, as time goes on, people say, well, no, where in the world did Joanne come from? And what in the world in her life led her to being so obviously happy in your position? I'll point out to folks, you had alternative career options, which you chose not to pursue, more lucrative in terms of compensation, but you chose this one. Mm-hmm. And everyone will always be curious, they may not ask you directly, but they're going to, what makes a person like you, what has been in your life that makes you choose to pursue this at a later time in your life?
That's interesting. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and both my parents were artists. My dad was a commercial artist, and he and my mother met in art school. Mm-hmm. So the arts were very much encouraged in our house, and we were all given the opportunity to take art classes at the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh and at Carnegie Mellon, the pre-college classes, that sort of thing. So it was a very big part of my life. Until I went to Duquesne and I majored in languages and literature. They don't have a fine arts program. I got away from that. Languages and literature take you abroad, so I moved abroad and I lived in Germany for, I believe, 8 years. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to this country, that was kind of my career path. I moved to Boston and lived in the Boston and Cambridge area then for 18 years. And I worked with, interestingly enough, people who were relocating to the United States from other countries. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes those were wealthy people relocating for business reasons, but quite often they were refugees or illegal aliens. I mean, the whole spectrum, really. It all depends on what the State Department categorized them as at any given moment, because sometimes those categories switched. I taught English as a second language, and my job was to familiarize people with the culture of the United States, not just teach them the language, but, you know, teach them how things go here and how they're going to be comfortable and how they're going to be able to find work and so on. And I love that time in my life. I think that's fabulous. When I decided, well, I started again to pursue the arts, I would say, in the mid-80s when I was living in Cambridge, and revisited that earlier time in my life and got the creative juices flowing again and started to kind of fill in that blank, because I had left behind a big piece of myself, not in a bad way, because I love what I'm doing no matter what, mm-hmm. and I love what I was doing, mm-hmm. but I kept thinking about that and thinking, well, you know, I have a brother who is a painter who is raising 8 children on the proceeds of his painting. Said, this is in the family, and you can't just drop those things. Mm-hmm. So I started doing work again. I started showing work again. And at some point, the dream was there that, well, you know, could I make a living doing my art? So I moved to Oil City. I got my overhead down. I have a brother who lives here, too. I came on a visit. It looked like the set for the Nutcracker. It was just gorgeous. And I got a real estate magazine and thought, oh, gosh, I could buy a house here for less than a year's rent in Boston. Mm-hmm. So I moved. I made the move and realized that I couldn't make a living as an artist here either, that I needed a day job. But at least here, I had the opportunity to continue doing that sort of thing. And when this job opened up, when the city started talking about this effort, I thought, you know, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is your chance to do something for the community, because at that point I'd already lived here for about 10 years, to do what you wanted to do. But in a way, I'm still helping people to relocate. I'm not teaching them English anymore. Although we have a Russian sculptor. He dropped in here about 2 weeks ago, and he's looking at properties. And, you know, it's that experience of making people from another culture comfortable. And interestingly enough, the people who are moving here experience the same kind of culture shock that a foreigner does when they come to the United States, or that I did when I moved to Germany. Mm-hmm. There is a period after you've made the move where the honeymoon is over, mm-hmm. and you think, what have I done? Mm-hmm. That happened to me when I moved here. Mm-hmm. And it's happening to people who have moved here now. Mm-hmm. I have high hopes. I don't think anybody's going to despair and leave or anything like that. But it is a matter of, it is a different culture.
It's a matter of adjustment. And yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. My wife and I went through something of the same. We didn't have any real doubts about the wisdom of our choice. Mm-hmm. But you do go through it because it is different. Mm-hmm. And I hope, you touched on something, I hope that recognizing that we all together make that transition for the new people a little easier. Mm-hmm. Saying you will go through this.
Yes.
Just rest. Be confident. You'll work it out. Be confident.
Yes.
You will be accepted. Mm-hmm. Any community is difficult to be accepted, particularly if you try to step out and assert yourself, but artists have to. That's just the nature
do. That's the nature of the artists, and you know, and I think in the end it's going to be very healthy both for them and for the community. So, you know, it's a matter of going through a few uncomfortable moments maybe, mm-hmm. but...
And they will pass.
Yeah, they will
maintain
pass.
The faith.
Absolutely.
We've been told all our lives.
Yeah.
Let's touch on a little bit about what we are doing as a community to bring our younger people more into the arts initiative.
Yes.
The arts effort. And where we've been and where we're going. Let's talk a little bit about
I can talk about a couple of initiatives that have just started in the last couple of years. The Oil Heritage Art Show is one of the big features that the Arts Council puts on every July in conjunction with the Oil Heritage Festival. And up until quite recently, that was limited to adults. There's now a children's art show that fills a whole separate hall, and they get more submissions from the kids than they do from the adults, and the quality of the work is just outstanding. Mm-hmm. So that I'm very proud of. I'm very happy to see that happening. Mm-hmm. We're also starting to work more with the school district. And the school district, they have art clubs, they have art classes, they have very talented individuals. But like any school, schools tend to be their own world. Mm-hmm. And the goal here is to bring the two worlds together. So for the first time this year, the Oil City Area School District had its art show for everybody, K through 12, 2,000 pieces in this building, right where we sit. There was art all over the walls, beautifully, beautifully displayed. And previously they had had it in the cafeteria at the high school. I think this space showcased that work so beautifully, and around every corner was a surprise. And the kids were proud to have their work downtown. Mm-hmm. We had open studios that day, too, and one boy and his mother came in to look around, and I said, "Oh, do you have work in the show?" And the mother said, "Oh, no." And he said, "I do." and I could sense his pride that he had work in the show downtown, you know.
Yes.
And it was like a moment of two artists speaking to one another. It was really nice.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, yeah. So I am hoping, I know that there is a project in the works, and it's maybe too early to talk about any details, but we would like to work with the school district on a regular basis, having art club activities and that kind of thing in the building.
Mm-hmm.
We're still figuring out staffing and, you know, the all the details that have to be gone through, but that has been in the works now for a couple of months. And Joe Grisina, who is an artist in the studios and who also works for the intermediate unit, has taken that on.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a project, an artist in residency project with Venango Catholic High School, bringing kids in to do stained glass work,
mm-hmm.
and that has been so popular and so successful that we want to see that continue.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much time we have here, but you mentioned the artist in residence. They brought a man in, a sculptor in a couple years ago who did the children's
statuary. Yes, David Poulin, yeah.
And I have to tell you, when I heard what the subject was, I wasn't too excited,
mm-hmm.
but the work is outstanding.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. And the nice thing about that, every child in the classes involved had a hand in it. They sculpted in clay a three-dimensional portrait of one of the children in their class, which was then cast in bronze. And before they ever got to the artwork, they all wrote essays about what the river meant to them and that kind of thing. So it was a very organized effort that involved kids on a number of different levels. And now we have five portraits of Oil City kids in and around the river parks near the river. There's one near the library. And they're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
They're recognizable. And because so many kids had a hand in that, it's also kind of a protection against vandalism.
Yes.
You know?
Don't touch my stuff.
Don't touch my stuff. I helped to sculpt that.
Right.
It's
appreciated.
It really is.
And it involved children from all walks of life, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
And probably brought some of them into where they wouldn't otherwise be, which is what the Artist in Residence program
That's
is
right.
about. I don't know if you've ever seen or maybe you've personally experienced. I went to Oslo when I was in the Navy many years ago.
Uh-huh.
I happened to have the joy, and I mean this to me, the joy of going through a sculpture park they have in Oslo. It's famous, the name of the sculptors escaping me, but there are these huge stone figures of human beings
mm-hmm.
throughout the entire park. And when you first walk in, you just look at these masses and you don't react.
Yeah.
But you start to see the expressions on their face. And they cut every aspect of the human condition, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that you could possibly be. And the place has become literally an international draw
mm-hmm.
for people who appreciate sculpture in a different, slightly different approach.
Sure.
And these children that we have here, I get that same feeling. I have to tell you, this is good. This
They're
is
great.
Top quality. I'm calling it world-class sculpture. And I tell people that. You ought to come and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, of course, Chief Corn Planter before
that. Well, and again, Oil City is very forward-thinking in the matter of public art. Whether it's a mural project on the side of a building or sculpture in the parks, there have been a number of initiatives for public art, and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I also hope that at some point artists who move here will be getting involved in that kind of thing. I've been approached by some buildings that have a big blank wall, and they would certainly love to have a picture on it, but there's no financing for that, and
so
it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it will.
Well, you're right, it will. I'm going to put in my little pitch on the murals. if we do it, I hope we do it on canvas rather than on the actual masonry, because people's tastes change or interests change.
Yes, yes.
And once you put it on masonry, it's very difficult to get off. You put it on a canvas that's framed, looks like a big outdoor billboard, and you protect it with a finish. I think really you can do some wonderful work.
Sure.
I've seen that, as you have.
Sure.
You all have.
Sure, sure.
Well, that has an impact.
Mm-hmm. It does have an impact.
I happen to, the one they did of the license plates in the...
In the parking lot.
Yes, yes.
That's great.
I wasn't sure about that.
Oh, it looks good.
I don't know if you know that.
It looks good.
It does.
It looks
really good. Yes.
Excuse me.
Did this for the folks who...
If you have a setting like a parking garage, almost anything is better than what's there, which is a blank wall. You know, you can't do a lot of damage. So this looks really good. It's just a bunch of license plates.
Yes.
And it was very, very carefully done.
Very well done. It really enhanced that corner of a dungeon-like garage, as you well know.
Well, Margarita Emanuel, who is our teacher at the high school and also has a studio here in the complex, is going to be working on a mural with some of her students. I'm not exactly sure what the topic is or where it's going to be, but... Mm-hmm. But there are some plans for that.
Right. So there are things you do to bring the younger folks in.
You bet.
And who knows? They certainly buy into this being an artist-oriented community, and some of them will become lifelong artists themselves. And you can't get a better outcome than that, in my opinion.
That is true.
Joanne, you've had all these experiences. You've had your disappointments, I'm sure, like we all have. What initiatives we haven't undertaken yet do you think we should pursue in the next 5 to 10 years?
Are we talking arts related?
Yeah. Or anything that actually would improve
the
environment.
We're dreaming and we have
fun. We're dreaming and we have fun.
Okay. All right.
People will be watching this 10 years from now.
That's true. Well, one thing very close to home, we have artist studios, we have gathering places for artists, we have venues for performance. We don't have anywhere to show the work of Oil City artists, and there is a mass of work. We have at least 12 pieces by Butch Quinn, who died a couple of years ago, who has work in the Smithsonian. We need to show that work. Mm-hmm. There are artists who were known regionally before I moved here, and whose names I don't know, but their work is somewhere in storage.
Some in the Nango Museum, I can tell you that.
But in storage,
yes.
Not where you can see
That's
it.
Right.
There's nowhere to look at the works of art that have been produced in this area, and I would like to see us building a collection of the work of local artists. We're inviting really world-class artists to come here. I know the university is starting to build a collection at Venango campus, which is great. I think in a building like this, we need to find space for a gallery, a public gallery, or a museum of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is a dream that's very close to my heart. I would like to see, revolving exhibits. I'd like to see us bringing people in from outside to show their work, because that just primes the pump for local people to do more work and better work.
Yeah.
So that's the next big thing on my horizon. I hope that can happen.
Well, I do too. And I have to tell you, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, having this conversation with you. You're so upbeat. You're always that way. And you back it up. You give credibility to these undertakings. And I, for one, and there are many in this community who agree with me, we've been very fortunate that you chose to take this position and to take this great... It is a community responsibility on your shoulders. You know you're a target. You know you will be evaluated and judged for many, many years.
Sure.
I think you are succeeding.
Thank you. And I
wish you, and I believe this entire community does, wish you all the success in the world. And years from now, when they're all coming to Oil City because of the great opportunities and experiences to be had in this town. Don't remember that Joanne Wheeler was behind it.
Well, thank you. Oh, thank you.
You're
thank
very, very welcome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Been a pleasure, Neil.
Let's real quick do that. It's been a pleasure. Just lean over and shake hands again.
Okay. Joanne, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure on my part too, Neil.